now, Mace, we're going to get back into your mock, and we're going to start, or we're going to pick things up at 23 with the Minnesota Vikings.
The Minnesota Vikings. I've got them going from Laquon Treadwell, the incredibly productive receiver out of Mississippi. Of course, he had the really grisly fibula injury, pardon me, back in 2014, but he's made a stirring comeback from that. His speed isn't quite all the way back where it once was, but he's a big receiver. He can make plays in traffic, and I think he's a good complement for Teddy Bridgewater, because Bridgewater is the kind of quarterback who likes to throw it in the tight windows, and so there's a lot of jump balls and there's a lot of tough grabs, and Treadwell's the kind of guy that can go up and get them.
He was hesitant to run during the combine and pro day season. Was that a red flag for you?
Not really, no. I think he knows that his speed is not back where it was. I think he wants everyone to rely more on the film. It didn't bother me too much, because I think it was just a little bit of a game he was trying to play, but he did run. He didn't run well, but he did run.
So. You said we are going to hit the wide receiver run, and you were not lying with your next pick.
Yep, Josh Doctson out of TCU going to the Bengals. They've got two receivers to replace that they lost in free agency. Need a partner for AJ Green. Need another target for Andy Dalton. Doctson was incredibly productive before he got injured late last year, but I don't think that affects his draft stock at all.
TCU playing with Trayvon Boykin, do you think that helped his numbers? He had gaudy stats last year.
The scheme and Boykin, it did help him a little bit, but you know, Cincinnati is a good situation for him because he's a clear number two, so he's going to have one-on-one coverage. Won't have to deal with many safeties. I think he'll be able to put up some numbers there immediately. Number 25, Pittsburgh. They need secondary help. They needed it last year as well. I've got them going for Eli Apple out of Ohio State.
Which is typical for them. You think about Ryan Shazier at linebacker. Mm-hmm. The Steelers taking another great defensive back. This guy is probably the most talked about defensive back in the entire draft, just based on the questions he's been asked by other teams.
Yeah, and stuff about can you cook?
Right.
Who cares?
Right, exactly.
I have visions of the scene in Moneyball where the old school scouts are talking about a player's girlfriend and not being good looking. If people are really looking at stuff like that, they're looking at the wrong stuff.
Right.
That's just ridiculous. Look at how he plays.
Right.
Another guy who plays very well, I have at number 26, Cody Whitehair, one of my favorite prospects this year out of Kansas State. You know, nothing really impressive in the measurables. Not too big, doesn't have long arms. But, oh my goodness, just technically a very sound player. Played tackle at K-State. He's going to move to guard in the pros. I think he'll start right away.
Do you think the versatility between guard and tackle makes him an appealing pick if he happens to fall to 31 for the Broncos?
Absolutely, because he's good enough to where, you know, if you have an injury at tackle, you can swing him outside. If that, you know, basically, he allows you to have your five best offensive linemen on the field. Even if one of them goes down, you can kind of rotate around and get him in the right spot. And it works out perfectly. So his versatility, it's another asset. But even if he just stays at guard,
right,
he's a heck of a player. Number 27, Green Bay. I've got them going for Chris Jones out of Mississippi State. Defensive tackle. He'll probably be three techniques, some nose work on occasion in Green Bay. But a solid fit for a team that needs some help up front.
We talked about guys with character concerns. Your next guy to the Kansas City Chiefs is one of those gentlemen, Mackenzie Alexander.
He's got character concerns. He's also got productivity concerns because despite being an outside cover corner, he ended up having no interceptions in his career at Clemson. So that's a big question. I mean, it's interesting to watch him because he reacts well when the ball comes in. You know, he is a good tackler. He doesn't allow much yardage after the catch in general. But you do want him to be able to make some plays on the ball. And so that's something that I think is going to be a concern. That's frankly why I had him dropping to number 28.
Character concern, Ali. We continue here with this next guy, a former Buckeye, but a guy that has had many questions surrounding him at the combine and pro days.
Yes, of course. That's Noah Spence, who was at Ohio State, then transferred to Eastern Kentucky after positive drug tests. He was addicted to ecstasy. He's been in rehab. He stayed clean for the last season. Says he's on the right track. Seems to have said the right things in a lot of interviews with teams. Clearly has the talent as an edge rusher. But similar to Kimdichie,
mm-hmm.
there's not a lot of teams that I think really that would really be good spots for him. You need a mature team with outstanding coaching and strong leadership. The Broncos are one of those teams, but they really don't need an edge rusher. They're pretty well set there.
Mm-hmm.
Cardinals are another team like that with Bruce Arians at the helm.
And the next guy that we have on your mock draft board is a guy that we talked a little bit about in our offensive line segment earlier this offseason, Jermaine Ifedi.
Yes, and a very impressive, very athletic offensive tackle in Carolina. You know, Carolina isn't a team that picks for need, but I think Ifedi is a very good fit for them at number 30. We saw in the Super Bowl Mike Remmers working at right tackle. He was pretty well overmatched going up against Von Miller. Now, Von Miller's going to make a lot of people look bad, but I think with Remmers, I think there were some things that Von Miller did in terms of edge rush that you're going to see teams try to replicate going in. Ifedi, I think it may be a year before he's ready to start. He's pretty raw, but a very impressive potential right tackle.
Could have used another year at Texas A&M, probably an all-SEC consideration for next season had he stayed at right. A&M with the Aggies. But, Mace, it is now time to reveal number 31, the Denver Broncos, the pick everyone has been waiting for.
And I have the Denver Broncos taking Carl Joseph out of West Virginia, safety. Despite the ACL tear that he had last year, I think he's the best safety in this draft class. Reminds me a lot of T.J. Ward. They're about the same size. You know, Joseph is 5'11", 205. You know, Ward, T.J. Ward is 5'10", 200, 205 pounds. Attacks in the same way. Very aggressive when he gets inside the box. Makes plays against the run. Can make plays in coverage. He had 5 interceptions in 4 games last year before he tore his ACL. Great ball skills. A complete package at safety. And, you know, the Broncos lost David Bruton Jr. free agency. Lost Omar Bolden to free agency. Darian Stewart's in the last year of his contract. So when you're kind of making that long-term plan, you can see that safety is probably a position they've got to address in this draft at some point. And Joseph, I think, would be a perfect fit. And I think the way if you got Carl Joseph, you could basically use him like you used David Bruton Jr. last year, get him in on those sub-packages. And then you could actually use him sometimes in the box and have T.J. Ward deep.
Right.
You can do with him.
Carl Joseph, one of the best defensive backs in this draft, as Mace just mentioned. He was one of the most productive defensive backs in the NCAA last year before he did tear his ACL. But as Mace just mentioned, and as you're about to see, Joseph has talent that surpasses even those injury concerns. Through 4 games last season, no safety was better than West Virginia's Carl Joseph.
Knocked down at the 39, Carl Joseph.
I am the best, and I do feel like I am the best safety in the draft.
The hard-hitting Mountaineer hauled in 5 interceptions in the first 4 weeks of the 2015 campaign.
The jump ball, intercepted.
But unfortunately, that's where Joseph's college career ended. A non-contact ACL injury at practice halted his hot start and left plenty of questions about his future in the 2016 NFL draft.
It was hard, man. It was definitely heartbreaking for me, especially with the year I was having and just not being able to go out there and perform with my teammates. So it was hard for me, man. But, I try to think about it in a positive light. You know, it happened for a reason. God has a plan, so just trying to stay positive and just focus on what I can control right now.
Joseph says he should be ready by training camp, but the uncertainty of his injury has him projected to be taken on day 2 of the draft. But that could be a benefit to the Broncos.
Pass deflected and intercepted by David Bruton.
After losing David Bruton and Omar Bolden in free agency, the Broncos are looking to add depth at safety and on special teams, making Joseph an attractive prospect if he is on the board past the first and second rounds. One of the most productive defensive backs in the NCAA last year, Carl Joseph, rounding out Mace's 31. Mace, just some final thoughts on your 31. Anything that you want to just touch on briefly?
Well, I think you might be right about the Cowboys potentially picking Ezekiel Elliott number 4. That was one I really thought long and hard about before going with Jalen Ramsey. But either way, you're talking about a splash. Paxton Lynch, boy, it's just so hard to figure where he's going to go. I mean, I think, you know, there's several teams, quite possibly, including the Broncos, whose draft plans are circulating around what happens with Paxton Lynch and how far he falls.
We are happy to announce the Los Angeles Rams are now on the clock. The question now, will they take Wentz? Will they take Goff? Mace, as you just heard, probably they're going to lean Goff, but we'll have to wait to find out. Mace, let's talk a little bit about Chicago, the scene for this draft. Do you like the fact that the NFL is changing it up a bit?
Change can be good. I kind of miss the whole elan of Radio City Music Hall, quite frankly. There's really not a venue that matches up to it. But at the same time, they've been able to do stuff outside the draft venue. We see the big draft party that they have on Saturday in downtown Chicago. And now it looks like it's going to start going around. You know, Denver is interested in having a draft at some point in the future. There's been rumblings about Philadelphia maybe hosting the draft next year. It's going to gradually become a nationwide event, and I think more football fans are going to be able to share in it in some way. And so that part's really cool.
A lot of college football's best players are in Chicago right now waiting for their names to be called. And some of those players are good friends with Broncos here in Denver. We had a chance to catch up with some of the Bronco friends here. Phil Milani was on that for us earlier this week.
You know, it's been kind of crazy. You know, he's got some off-the-field questions, but, you know, his record speaks for itself. His personality speaks for itself, 34-5 as a starter. Great teammate, great person, one of my best friends to this day. Happy for him, you know, happy for him this week, and wish him all the best.
When I was there, he was a freshman, so I kind of walked him through the ropes, and he kind of just, you know, watched what I did, and I used to take him. I basically took him under my wing and treat him like a little brother and just showed him, you know, how to do it. You know?
He was a great teammate, hard worker. You know, it was a lot of fun playing with him. Has a lot of character. You know, just an outstanding player, outstanding guy. I think he's a very hard worker. You know, he was a two-star out of high school, and, you know, he worked really hard to get the accolades that he did. He's a team-first guy, so I think, you know, that's good to have. So he'll be good to the next level wherever he ends up.
Me and Couture have a really good relationship. We came in together, and just seeing what he's been able to do, become an All-American and play at the level that he's played. I mean, he's a great athlete.
You know, I was a sophomore junior when he got there, and, you know, right away he was one of those guys you knew he was going to play. You knew he was going to, you know, be a playmaker for us, and, you know, that's exactly what he was. And, you know, he obviously had a big part to do with our national championship. And, you know, yeah, great player, great teammate, great friend. So,
you know, me and Connor went at it many times, just as we were developing and becoming, you know, better players. And he's easily one of the strongest people that I've ever met. You know, his work ethic in the weight room, on the field, is second to none. And so, you know, he's going to be a monster. You know, I'm looking forward to what he's going to do. I'm excited. You know, this time of the year, guys, you know, dreams come true. So mine came true last year. I want to see some guys that I'm, you know, really good friends with, see their dreams come true this year.
Really great to see some of those relationships that the Bronco players share with some of their former teammates. It looked like Bradley Roby had a really great connection with Eli Apple, and the same could be said for Shane Ray and Kentrell Brothers. Mace, how can those relationships kind of play into whether or not a guy could fit on a certain NFL team?
Well, let's just say this. You have Brothers and you have Shane Ray, for instance. You know the two of them have a good on-field chemistry. And also, if you're a scout with a team or if you're in a personnel executive, you're looking for all the intel you can get. So you're going to come up to, in addition to talking to coaches, talking to any number of people, you're going to talk to that former teammate that's in your building and say, hey, what kind of player was this guy? What makes him special? What, you know, why might he fit? It's just another piece of the puzzle you can add to the scouting process and trying to figure out what a guy can do and then make an informed decision on draft day.
Do you think certain guys like, you know, Benny Fowler maybe lobbying for Connor Cook, or do you think there is lobbying that goes on for their guys in the building?
I think maybe just kind of some casual, you know, fun, good-natured, hey, you got to pick my guy, this sort of thing. But I don't think it's anything – I don't think it's anything formal or anything like that. And I think everyone knows that guys would like to see their former teammates, their friends, along with them. But you know, you can't make that decision like they used to say about the Chicago Bulls. I think it was Jerry Krause, the general manager, said, I can't listen to Michael Jordan because if I did, Buzz Peterson would be on my team.